This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony. It's not surprising that the audiences of Tchaikovsky's time assumed that his Symphony No. 6 was his final farewell statement. First, there's the nickname he gave it. It's known by its French subtitle, Pathétique, but the original Russian was Patetichesky, which in English can mean emotional or passionate, but with a distinct overtone of suffering. Tchaikovsky was used to wearing his heart on his musical sleeve, but this symphony goes through even more and wider mood swings than was usual for him. Then there's the matter of the finale, which is long and somber, almost depressing, the very opposite of what his audience would have expected. And finally, there's the fact that Tchaikovsky died just days after the symphony's premiere in 1893, under circumstances that are mysterious even today. At the premiere of the Pathétique, Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov asked Tchaikovsky whether he had a program for this composition. He replied that there was one, of course, but that he did not wish to announce it, end quote. In February, Tchaikovsky had written to his nephew that he was working fast and furiously on a new symphony and that it would have a program, but, he said, a program of a kind that would remain an enigma to all. Let them guess. But the symphony will just be called Program Symphony No. 6. This program is saturated with subjective feeling, and often, while composing it in my mind, I shed many tears. Do not speak of this to anyone. End quote. Tchaikovsky was always his own harshest critic, but in a year that had been very difficult for him, writing this symphony gave him a great deal of pleasure. As always, he had moments of doubt. In August, he told his nephew that the orchestration failed to realize his dreams, and that he expected the work to be met with abuse or at least misunderstanding. But even in that letter, he conceded that he was well pleased with the symphony's contents, and in general, his letters indicate that he was composing happily and confidently. I certainly regard it as easily the best and especially the most sincere of all my works, he wrote, and I love it as I have never before loved one of my musical offspring. Without exaggeration, I have put my whole soul into this work, end quote. Even though the rehearsal period was difficult since the orchestra wasn't completely convinced by the piece, Tchaikovsky maintained that this was the best thing I ever composed or ever shall compose. The symphony begins with an extraordinary sound. A very low bassoon rises through the murk of double basses and low violas like a shadow rising from a grave. This and the beginning of the finale, which is at exactly the same tempo, are the symphony's slowest passages. But this isn't an introduction. When this adagio section finally picks up speed, it's a continuation of the same musical thought. The theme builds nervously to a grand climax, then gives way to one of Tchaikovsky's most famous and beautiful melodies. It's a very personal transformation of one of his own favorite pieces, Don José's flower aria in Carmen. He wrote in the score that it should be played tenderly, very songfully. And at first, the melody expands, but then it disappears, dwindling all the way down to sextuple pianissimo. The development section of the movement takes the nervousness of the first theme and whips it into a storm that accelerates to another climax. Recapitulation emerges organically from the storm, bringing back the lyrical melody. This time, the dying of the melody leads to a solemn coda. The brass intone a chorale as the strings pluck scales like tolling bells. Tchaikovsky was probably the best composer of orchestral waltzes not named Strauss. He had put a real waltz into his Fifth Symphony. Now he includes a curious variation of one. It's a haunting and graceful waltz, but in the unusual time signature of 5 beats to a measure instead of the usual 3. Each measure is made up of 2 plus 3. You could turn the movement into a normal waltz by stretching the first beat of each measure, but you would take away its charm and its unusual power. If you were to try to reconstruct this symphony's program, you'd be hard-pressed to make this movement fit, except as another melancholy episode. And this atmosphere vanishes completely with the next movement. It's a brilliant scherzo full of strange flashes and thunders that finally reveals itself as a fiery march. Tchaikovsky's 4th and 5th symphonies are fate symphonies that end in triumph. In the 4th, the artist finds salvation in embracing the simple life. In the 5th, he co-opts the fate theme and turns it into a victory march. But the march in the Pathétique is no triumph. It's a last gasp before the sudden and unexpected anguish of the finale. The middle two movements of Tchaikovsky's 6th form a double intermezzo between the outer movements, which carry the real burden of the program, whatever it is. But unlike most intermezzos, which serve as palate cleansers, this one has the dramatic power to offset the emotional weight of the opening and the finale. Most conductors will tell you that if the audience doesn't burst into applause after this movement, they haven't done their job properly. It has to evoke that kind of reaction, or you lose the shock of what comes next. Even before the echo of that last bang dies away, the strings let loose a great cry of anguish. Then sink into the depths. A new melody tries to provide some consolation. It's in a major mode and a variation of the sweet melody from the opening movement. But its repetitions become obsessive and threatening, finally leading to catastrophe. The lamenting melody from the opening of the movement rises from the broken shards. But instead of continuing to rise, it spirals downward, and the snarling of the horns and a single soft stroke on the tam-tam are the final tokens of disaster, harbingers of defeat. The pulse begins to die, and the music sinks back into the dark places where it began at the symphony's opening. The audience at the premiere of Tchaikovsky's Sixth was polite but hesitant, but the second performance, just 3 weeks later and after Tchaikovsky's death, was a triumph. What had been a bewildering symphonic experience at first took on a new and frightening meaning. If Tchaikovsky had just switched the order of the last two movements, it would have resulted in a more conventional Beethoven Victory Symphony. Instead, the plunge from light into darkness set the stage for the deeper psychological explorations in music that were still to come. This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony.